Turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, and we'll be starting where we left off last Lord's Day evening in verse 24. And we'll read down through verse 27. And focus our attention on verses 25 to 27. And before we read God's Word, let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your perfect, inerrant, infallible, breathed out Word that comes from you alone. I hear, just as the rest of the scriptures, we hear Jesus speaking. We pray that we would have ears to hear him, that you would save your people and renew our faith and strengthen our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, for in his name we pray. Amen. So John 5, verse 24 through 27, this is God's perfect word. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. And that is the word of our God. Jesus is somewhat, we might say, on trial here, an informal trial, and yet the Jews were seeking to put him to death, like we learned in verse 18. And because the charges were that Jesus broke the Sabbath, and Jesus saying that he was equal with God and that he is God. And so they're charging him with the greatest blasphemy that can be. These blasphemous sins. And Jesus, we saw the last 2 weeks, show clearly that he was not breaking the Sabbath. And last week that he really is equal with God, that he is God. And now he's continuing to respond to the Jews. And that's why back in verse 19 we have the therefore. They were charging him, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them. He was responding to their charges. That's what he's doing here still. So Jesus' response has really been, none of these are wrong because I am in fact God. A great defense. But now in this portion of his response, he charges them. They are the ones who are actually on trial. You're trying to kill me, Jesus says, but I have life in myself. That is, life with a capital L. I appear before you as the Son of Man. And indeed I am. And you will kill me soon, but I am life. And you are dead. And if you don't get my life, you will die a second time and forever. How I respond with my words is not determining my judgment. And so what he's saying here is how you respond to my words. That's what Jesus is saying. How you respond to Jesus' words, how you respond to my words demonstrates my judgment about you. What an astonishing response. And so verse 24 from last week introduces or makes us now a transition into verse 25. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And now he's going to use that and he's going to work off of that, what he just said in verse 24, and use it as a warning to the Jews in verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is. And that is different from what we'll hear next week, Lord willing, verse 28, where he says, do not marvel at this. That is, don't marvel at verses 25 through 27. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Verse 25, an hour is coming and now is. Verse 28, an hour is coming. So there's an uneven parallel. There's a parallel, but it's uneven. It's not one for one correspondence. It's not saying the exact same thing. He's saying something different. Uneven parallel between those verses. An hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice. And then there's another group. And instead of the dead, and instead of saying an hour is coming and now is, instead of the dead, in order to distinguish between two kinds of death, that's what he's doing. Jesus says in verse 28, an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And that doesn't mean that you have to be put in a tomb to participate in the bodily resurrection. Those who are put out to the sea or burned with fire or whatever it is, all will be resurrected. The just and the unjust. But here he's making a distinction between the two kinds of death. Here's the first death, is what he's saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And so the Lord Jesus addresses us this evening with two great ideas, that Jesus' word brings life, and then Jesus' word brings judgment. Which you notice in verse 27 comes before the second judgment. We have two resurrections here and two judgments here in verses 25 through 29. You have the spiritual resurrection in verse 25 and verse 28. You have the physical resurrection that will come about on the last day. There is a judgment in verse 27, a judgment that comes by the speaking of Jesus' words. And there is a judgment in verse 29, a judgment that comes at the bodily resurrection. So Jesus is telling us two things this evening. His word brings life and his word brings judgment. But first then, Jesus' word brings life. And he's talking spiritually here. Next week we'll look at the physical. But here he's looking at the spiritual. Jesus' word brings spiritual life. Verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And this is saying right now, I, God the Son, who has been talking about God my Father and making myself equal with my Father, and who has been answering the charges, will not that I am just God-like or anything like that, but I am very God of very God. And I am of the same substance as the Father, equal in power and glory. I am the living God. And I'm speaking right now. That is, there's an hour, there it says, an hour is coming and now is. I'm speaking right now. That there is an hour which I'm speaking to dead people. Very offensive. Jesus is saying, right now I'm speaking to dead people. Jesus is telling them, the Jews, that they are dead. There are questions about this, about where the life comes from, but Genesis 1:24 says, you know, talking about creation, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds. Where does the spirit of the beasts, the animals, come from? It comes from the earth, from God, from the earth. They come out living. Genesis 2:7, when it speaks about God forming man, it says, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground. Is he living yet? No. It says, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In John's Gospel, John has already identified for us that that case in Genesis 7 was an appearance of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, John 1:2 says, He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And so that spiritual life with which Adam was not formed, but with which he was imbued, the spiritual life that Adam received when God the Son breathed into his nostrils, that he would be a living being. That life is light. And John testifies that the world is dark. Ever since Adam and Eve, there has never been a person except Jesus. There's never been a person who came into the world that wasn't spiritually stillborn. They were dead. We start dead. We start sinful. We start selfish. We don't start with delight in the Father and love for His will. And always seeing that what He does and imitating His will the way Jesus just finished saying He does. So you see, Jesus has already explained to them that He doesn't decide for Himself anything to do, and so it's impossible to accuse Jesus of sin without accusing God of sin. But it's exactly the opposite for us as we come into the world so full of self, so full of darkness. And so He's saying, you're not just morally imperfect, having made a mistake about application of the fourth commandment, and the Sabbath, and whether or not it covers pallet carrying in the case of a healing, in contrast to being a pallet maker or a pallet repairman and doing that work on the Sabbath. You have not just made a moral mistake, you are dead. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. You hear the offensiveness of what He's saying. He's on trial, basically, and He's saying to all those who are charging Him, all of you, you're dead. I'm the Son of God, and you are spiritually dead. And everyone who is going to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation must know that's how they begin. That's how we begin. Everyone here, that's how we began when we were conceived in our mother's womb. They don't just need, and we don't need just help with moral mistakes that we've made, with some things that we thought were okay but weren't, and we don't need some help with some things that we thought weren't okay but we fell into them anyway and messed up. Now, you are not merely mistaken, you have not merely messed up. You start out dead. Everyone starts out dead. The paralytic thought he just needed to get into the water. He thought the water was where the healing came from. No, it was a providence of God to His grace to His people, that God in whom there's life and God in whom there is healing so reigns that when the angel stirred up the water and someone went down into the pool, He healed them through that. But the healing didn't come from the water and not from the pool. And just like at Cana, the purification did not come from the water in the pots. You get healing from God. And there's so many who can feel some of the disability of their sin, but they don't know that they are dead. And they think the solution is to address their disability. A good case of this is the gun control debate now. You had the school shooting, and they want to attack guns. They want to attack the mental state of the people. And they need to address that they're dead. And they need to be safe. And that's what's going to change these shootings and killings from stopping. It's not just a moral mistake. And it's not... It's that they're dead. And they think the solution is to address that disability. And so in marriage, perhaps we try to tame our mouths to heal our marriage, and with spending of money, showing that they don't understand that all property is from God and for His service and for enjoying Him and glorifying Him. And so they try to just, you know, we just need a budget and that'll solve everything. Whatever the point of the paralysis, all of them and all of us need to hear what Jesus said to the paralytic: do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. Because your problem isn't your disability. It's not just you've messed up a few times. It's your problem is death. And it's sin. And that is a sign on the down payment that hell is coming for you. The paralytic thought he needed water, but he needed Jesus. Jesus asked him if he wants to be healed. And he said, I don't have anyone to put me in the water. Jesus says, then pick up your pallet and walk. Jesus had power in himself and his word. By his command, the man picked up his pallet and he walked. He could give that physical life back to his legs and him his life. Everyone starts out dead. And there are at least some of you here, most of you here, hopefully, that are spiritually alive. And I hope that is true. And I have good reason to hope that most of you are spiritually alive. But some of you, I don't know. If you're spiritually alive, it's because Jesus has resurrected you. It's because Jesus has resurrected you. Has. Can you imagine living with the self-consciousness like the paralytic who had been healed after 38 years of paralysis? And he spoke with his voice and raised him up from his paralysis. Every single believer should live with the self-consciousness that they started out dead and they couldn't do anything for themselves. And they've been subject to a resurrection miracle. And we can even, after that, become complacent in our lives, even as people who have been resurrected and have spiritual life. Do you live as someone who is aware that you have been resurrected from death by Jesus Christ? Everyone starts out dead. And today is the resurrection day. But the question for these Jews is, which of these Jews will it be the resurrection day? For which of them? For an hour is coming and now is. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And so you get the sense in this conversation that he's speaking before one big mass of people. It's not just a few Jews. And they all hate him and they all want to put him to death. And they're hungry and thirsty for blood. But there's someone hearing on that day. Hearing Jesus. And they will live. And they lived. And it happens Lord's Day after Lord's Day and Sabbath after Sabbath ever since. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And Jesus addresses the dead in the preaching of the word. So long as this day is called today. Today is the day of salvation. The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For which of those was that true of whom he was speaking to? And which of you today will that be true? The world is full of animated corpses, that is, spiritually dead souls and moving physical bodies. Marionettes pulling their own strings. They can look a lot like believers, and they can be in churches, they can be in good families, and they can preach even. There have been a few men who have been converted in the midst of their own preaching because the word is faithfully opened and the dead hear the voice of the Son of God and they live. And this idea was revolutionary to the Jews. They believed in the future and physical resurrection, but they didn't think of it as present and now. An hour is coming and now is. And that may be revolutionary to you. Do you think of the resurrection as something merely physical and future? Or do you know it to be something that has happened to you spiritually? Or are you looking for it to happen to you spiritually? Are you finding out for the first time, being gripped by it for the first time, that you are dead and that this is the resurrection day? And many of you come and hear week after week Jesus saying, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? But not just that. Do you want to be resurrected? You are dead. Do you want to be resurrected? Rise, he says. And so this resurrection life comes by the word of Jesus. It comes by his voice. This is how he did it with the paralyzed man. Jesus giving a command doesn't mean necessarily that it doesn't mean that you have the ability in yourself to do it. Many think that, and we know that they're wrong. The paralyzed man had no ability to get up and walk, even as he wanted to get up and walk and get over to the pool, but he couldn't do it. He could not save himself. He could not, even hearing the command, have the ability in himself to do it. He needed the power from the voice of Jesus to do it. The power of turning from your sins, the power to believe in Jesus Christ is in the voice of Jesus. If you respond, it is His power that raises you from the dead. And even after you have been risen from the dead, in the spiritually speaking, in your soul, you still have to go back to the Word and the power that's in the Word of Jesus to continually put off that sin and continually be healed and rise up from your sin. Those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. They are not alive before. It's the voice that has the life in it. It's the Jesus, the Son of God, who has the life in Him. And yet, if you do not turn, then the wrath which is already upon you abides upon you. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Whoever does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. The physical resurrection, the degree of difficulty involved, he compares the two in this and the next week's passage, so that we would never treat conversion as a small thing, or an easy thing, or an automatic or mechanical thing. How easy it is for us to make the error, trusting God's promises for us, and for our children, trusting in the status that is given to us covenantally on the earth, as those who have been set apart from the world, because of our parents. No, there are dead people in the church, children and adults, and to presume that something other than the resurrecting voice of the Son of God will give them life is to play around with their eternal death. Now, why is this true? Verse 26, not just because Jesus has life, but because Jesus is life. Very, very carefully worded. It says, for just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. So it's not saying that Jesus gets His life from the Father. It's saying that there's an economic authority in the Godhead. The Father decides things for the Son. The Father grants things to the Son. The Son does not grant things to the Father. But it is specifically not saying that Jesus gets His life from the Father. He says, Jesus has life in Himself. The Son has life in Himself. We ask, where did it come from then? Where did the Father's life come from then? Because the way Jesus says in verse 26 is that the two are identical. The Father gets His life in the same way the Son gets His life. Which is to say, neither of them get it from anywhere. It's eternal. It's outside of time. They've always had it. There's always life because they are life. They are not equal in substance. Same in power and glory. There's a in our shorter catechism, when it says that, it's very carefully worded. The Apostles' Creed and other creeds are very carefully worded. You and I are equal in substance because we get our life from the same place, from God. But truly, the Father and the Son are the same in substance, not equal in substance. They're the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Jesus is very God of very God. And so here's something which, according to the Father's will from all eternity, something that happens outside of time, something in which the Father and the Son are identical. This is not the Father gives you life through the Son. This is the Father is your life and the Son is your life. He has life in Himself. You cannot merely have one without the other. And so He doesn't get life from the Father. Therefore, if you don't get life from Jesus, you will not have life. You are dead. There's nowhere else to get life. The Father loves the Son and has given all judgment into His hands. And part of that love and judgment is for Jesus to have life in Himself so that there's nowhere else to get it. And one of the things that this means for you is that if the preaching of the Word does not change you, nothing will change you. If Jesus' Word does not change you, nothing will change you. The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear will live. There's an hour coming when the unrighteous will come out of their graves and they will be resurrected unto a judgment of condemnation. And that's verses 28 and 29. That's what we'll look at next week. of the physical resurrection. And the voice of Jesus on that day will not change anyone. It will not give anyone life. At the judgment, the final judgment, the voice of Jesus will only condemn the spiritually dead to eternal spiritual and physical death. A judgment cannot change you. Hell cannot change you. Seeing an amazing thing cannot give you life. Those who are waiting for Jesus to show them something, to show a sign, like we've seen already in the Gospel of John, those who are hoping for a second chance, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. How many times have you heard the Word of God opened up and refused to hear Jesus speak? Refused to hear the voice of Jesus. Yes, this is the only thing that can give the dead life. How many more times will you hear? That's probably a more relevant question, a better question. How many more times will you hear the voice of Jesus and not hear? The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear will live. But there's an hour coming when all the tombs will hear His voice and come out. And those who have done good in the resurrection of life, or those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. There's a single mark on your record. It's condemnation at the time of that resurrection. It's hell. And if this doesn't change you, nothing will change you. If the voice of Jesus won't change you, then nothing will change you. After worship, after this sermon, it might be too late. But it's not too late now. And the Lord Jesus commands you to live. Will you not respond to Him? There's no more final day like the judgment. Well, there's no more decisive day like today. Jesus' word brings life. And finally, very shortly, Jesus' word brings judgment. Because it's the exact opposite. If you don't hear Him, you will be judged. Verse 27 says, He gave Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. This is God's will, that the Son of God become man. And that's what Paul said in Athens, in Acts 17, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. He's speaking of Jesus. If Jesus is going to execute judgment and judge the world, then He has to be a man. He has to go to the cross. And He has to rise from the dead. And so you see the resurrection in Jesus' humanity and the decree of God and what God has decided from eternity past, that He would have to be a resurrected man to bring judgment. And Jesus says, I am the one from Daniel 7. When you see the Son of Man in the Scriptures, it's not very often we see it in the Gospels. We see it a few times. Every time it's referring to Daniel 7. It's reminding us of that. And so Daniel 7 says, after this I saw in the night visions. And behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took His seat. His clothing was white as snow, the hair of His head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before Him. 1,000,000 served Him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. I looked then because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed. Its body destroyed and given over to the burned, to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And John 5, Jesus says, I am that one. Now, the Son of Man is not just before the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Days. And he is the Son of Man. And you see the relationship. An hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. They are the same. Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus says. And Jesus is saying to you here, you thought you had me on trial, but you are on trial. And how you respond or don't respond to the word of Jesus is your judgment. May it be resurrection unto life. Hebrews says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Those who do not hear his voice, the Lord swore in his wrath, you will not, they shall not enter my rest. But those who do hear his voice will enter his rest. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. That's the promise of God who is faithful in all things. And that's a promise that comes from him to you. You hear his voice, you will live. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Ancient of Days, who has all rule and dominion, authority and glory. And we praise you because you have given your Son for us. And he has spoken clearly. He has spoken clearly many times in this, from this pulpit, through the instrument of the minister and the reading and preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, we do pray that all who hear him will have true hearing, ears to hear, and will live. Lord, give them faith. Give all of us faith here, that there would not be a time where we harden our hearts and therefore do not enter your rest. But Lord, remind us that we were born and conceived in sin, that we were dead, stillborn. For those who have heard the voice of the Lord Jesus have been resurrected to life, spiritual life. Where the old creature has been put off, the new creature has been put on, the old garments have been taken off, the new garments have been put on. Father, we pray that you would give us all life, eternal life. We do pray in Jesus' name.